Hey friends, welcome back. This is the Insomnia Cafe podcast, a podcast where we'll be deep diving into each episode of Friends. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at the Insomnia Cafe. I'm Steven, and I'm here with Brayden and Leah. Today we'll be discussing the one with two parts, part two, which is season one, episode 17. And now Leah is going to read us an IMDb description of the episode.
So in this episode, Rachel switches identities with Monica so she can use her health insurance. Meanwhile, Ursula continues to come between Phoebe and Joey. I can't talk today.
Awesome. And Ross fears having a baby, which is not in the IMDb description because it's such a small part.
It's barely a plot.
Yeah. So I have another plot point, and it's Ross fears having a baby.
Yes.
Which, minuscule, I think it's worth talking about.
Oh, for sure.
We'll talk about it. There's not much to talk about.
Should we start with that one?
Sure. I mean,
it's kind of the beginning-ish.
We don't really get an opening scene with this one. We get the recap, which is new. You don't really see this much in Friends, but we get a recap of Rachel falling, taking down the Christmas lights. Phoebe knocking on Joey's door to find Ursula had slept over. And pretty much Ross struggling to control Marcel.
Yes.
That's the recap. So not a lot to talk about. This should have been one episode. I don't know why they felt the need to drag this out. It wasn't that great.
Yeah, I don't know. We probably should have made it one episode, but here we are. I also know, I don't think we mentioned the fact that Rachel... Did we mention in the last episode that Rachel falls off the balcony and gets caught by the Christmas lights?
I don't think so.
No. That, I noticed that because I was like, oh, I can't believe we didn't talk about it, because in that moment, Monica's thinking she just watched her best friend fall off the side of a building.
Her death.
Like, oh my God, how traumatizing would that be?
We've established there are at least three stories up. Right?
Yeah.
She would not have survived that fall.
No. And in my, those were precariously hung Christmas lights, because when I need to take mine down, when I also leave them up way too long, but usually just rip them right off the gutter, so I can't believe that that would hold any kind of body weight at all.
No.
You'd be done. You'd be dead.
Or maybe she would have landed on Heckle's patio or fire escape or whatever.
But you know, it's a TV show. You can't like...
Can't break it down and analyze it too much, or it just gets crazy.
But I think we're all, anyone who's put up Christmas lights has been guilty of leaving Christmas lights up way longer than they should. In fact...
Yeah, he likes to leave them up to like March.
Well, we used to...
I would hate you. Do you turn them on?
No.
Okay.
We don't use them, we just don't turn them down.
Because there are people on our street that late March, early April still had their goddamn Christmas lights up.
And they were on?
They were not on.
Okay.
But they were up.
We didn't do it this year, but the first year we moved into our house, we did put them up that Christmas.
Yep.
And then it took so long to take them down that the next Christmas I was like, we're going out of town, I'm not putting shit
we're not putting up.
Anyways, so we've got three plots. We have Rachel and Monica and the health insurance.
It's like two and a half plots.
Yeah,
kind of.
We can do
kind
Ross.
Of two and a half. We've got Joey dating Ursula again, still. And then Ross and his baby troubles.
Yeah.
You want to do the Ross just because it's quick?
Yes, and I have something that I can talk about. Some unique things line up.
Okay.
How niche is this? I do a Friends podcast, and I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, and Ross talks about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I thought you might have something to say about that.
Yeah, not a lot, but I... When I was a kid, I always got bothered by the episode because, you know, he says the Tampa Bay defense is coming right at us. And Joey's like, they got a terrible team. But they did.
In 94, 95?
I looked up the record. I think they were 7-9 or 5-11, depending on what part of the year they were in.
Based on that time for Tampa Bay, that's a pretty good record.
Because
the 90s were bad.
I believe that they currently, in the NFL, still... hold the title for the worst franchise record in the league, like overall of their existence. Now, I know that there's other people gunning for that right now, but I think we still hold it. And so, knowing that, I admittedly am like, yeah, that's absolutely the the correct response from Joey is Tampa. Now, I did notice, I think it was like 2 years after this episode would have aired, is when Tony Dungy took the team over. And then you see they made it to the playoffs like three times, and mm-hmm. then Gruden won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one always gets me, because it's like, oh, they, of all the teams that they mentioned in the show, they mentioned my boys, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I get excited, and then I forget that Joey goes, ah, they're terrible.
It's an insult.
And I'm like, oh, dang it. Russ, I think they could take me. It's just me in the bay.
Yeah. So I heave it downfield.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a weird thing for Ross, just that he was so invested in that dream. I'm going to be a terrible father.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one dream.
Yeah. Well, he's obviously thinking about it a lot. I mean, he'd been thinking it like ever since the last episode, I guess, when he realizes it kind of hit him. So he's having all these thoughts.
Yeah.
And he's already a very neurotic person.
I just always thought it would have been more of a Phoebe thing versus Ross, like, believing in a dream.
You're right.
Like, you know, it just didn't seem like his character to me in general.
Ross seems like the type of person to talk someone off the cliff of somebody, for someone who just had a dream like that. But I guess it goes to show just how messed up Ross's headspace is right now, because he has that dream and he's like, it's like confirming all the stuff he's scared about already.
So,
yes, because they're going to be playing football like that.
You know what's interesting is in the Lamaze class, he had talked about, hey, Susan, go long. And he's talking about throwing the baby. And then this episode, he's dreaming about throwing the baby. Maybe that had something to do with
it. That might have been the inspiration for the dream. Yeah. That's actually pretty good continuity. I never noticed that. So I just heave it. I'll throw the baby. Come on, take the sack. That was a great line from Joey.
Yeah, it shows you where Joey's head's at, and it's never the logical answer with Joey. It's always just the most outlandish shit. But they do, that comment does show kind of where they're heading with Joey's character, is they're making him a little more dumb, more stupid.
That comes up again with the Ursula thing. We'll talk about that
a little bit, but also, to be fair, it is a dream. Like, why not make it a little outlandish? I mean, he's throwing a baby down the field. I mean,
yeah, we do get Jack back for a split second.
It's like the only time we see him.
Yeah,
it's
nice to see him. I've missed him.
Yeah, he's complaining about the sun-dried tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, we get Marcel swallows the tile. And
yeah, I guess that's part of that plot, yeah.
So you want to talk about Scrabble?
That was humorous, where they're in the apartment and Marcel just like...
Just a
fur ball.
Like, no, he's dying, Ross.
It's fair, though, because when a cat has a fur ball, it sounds like that.
Yeah, that was a nice moment.
Speeds over, takes the monkey to the human hospital.
Which seems weird. How do you not know? Like, shouldn't you know how to give the Heimlich to whatever animal you're caring
And there's
got to
be a vet
somewhere.
On
Do you know how to give the Heimlich to a dog?
Well, I think I would look it up real quick before I tried to, like, zoom
just
to
hit them on
vet
their
or
back
something.
A few
like,
times.
Yeah,
well,
just,
they can exactly
I'm
look
sure
stuff
there's...
up on their phone during time of this. I mean,
well, and that
the only person
you
who had a computer.
Beforehand.
The only person who had a computer was Chandler. I don't think he got it yet.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah,
you couldn't look nothing up.
That's fair.
Anyways, I don't really have anything else to add
Me
to
neither.
Ross's.
That had the one thing I wanted to talk about, which was, hey, look, I am your residential friends podcaster / Tampa Bay Buccaneers friend fan. So
I love if you guys like Tampa Bay.
You probably don't.
Yeah, shout out to us.
Well, they might now. We have Brady.
Brady.
You're gonna get
Tom
a bunch of bandwagon
Brady.
Fans.
Mm-hmm.
They're all welcome to come.
Joey or Rachel and Monica?
I don't have a preference.
No, which one has a thing that pisses you off?
The Rachel and Monica.
Let's do Rachel and Monica.
Rachel and Monica. So this is... opening scene, but this is how the episode starts.
Yeah.
Is they're limping, Rachel's limping into the hospital.
With Monica. And they do the... we get to explore shenanigans with insurance fraud, so that's kind of... That's an interesting story beat, I guess.
We get another sassy hospital admin, too.
We do. So all the hospital admins are always sassy.
Which I think the last one was a nurse. The one where Ross gets hit, it's actually a nurse.
She was at the desk.
But Yeah, she was at the desk.
Yeah.
Nurses were on the desk too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not happy about anything. This hospital sucks. It's the same hospital, right? It looks like it.
It does. They just took down the little glass barrier that they used to have.
To be fair though, the part that bothers me, and this is why I feel like the nurse is justified, but she's also stupid. Because Monica goes up after they're deciding that they're going to do the fraud. And she's like, I put the wrong name. She's writing in a fucking pencil. Why didn't she erase it?
Oh, you have told me about this.
Yes, yeah. It bothers me so much every time. Because she does it twice. Like, she puts down Rachel's information. She goes up and tells her it's the wrong one. She puts down her information, and then they have to come back. And it's like, you wrote in a pencil. Why are you going up there telling them when you could just erase it?
Because she's just that stupid.
They both are, because the nurse doesn't say anything either.
Yeah.
The nurse just gives her a new sheet.
No, you can just erase it. I guess for the sake of continuity in the scene.
They should have used a pen.
Yeah, they should have used a pen.
That unbelievable.
Kills me every
In the same episode, we got the baby football. Such incredible writing to play off what happened in a previous episode. And they can't think to give her a pen. Anyway. Well,
physics and logic are taking a serious hit today.
I did have something to say about this. I like the scene where Monica's filling out the paper and Rachel's like, who's your emergency contact? And she's like, you. And they're like, oh, you're so sweet. I was like, I don't think I'd have that reaction. I'd be like, fuck. I don't want to be your emergency contact. You don't got any other friends?
You're so helpless. You know she's going to be back.
I'm pretty sure.
I do not want to get called.
Emergency contact on all of
your mom,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what were we talking about?
They're in the hospital. They're filling out the forms.
Emergency contact.
Then they're waiting on the doctor, right? They finally realize that, oh, shit, you know, Rachel doesn't have any insurance.
Yeah.
Monica agrees, which... it's a terrible idea, but Monica agrees to let her use hers.
It's only terrible if you get caught.
Yeah, I don't know what the sentence is, what the charges could be for that, but it's got to be a felony.
It's probably something like fine up to $100,000, 5 years in prison. Yeah. Like that boilerplate, go to jail,
town. Insurance fraud.
To be fair now, if Rachel didn't have insurance, she'd be screwed. Right, you have to have insurance now, anyway.
I think this is a good warning story for all the kids of why not to do it, because it'll ruin your date with cute doctors.
And it does, right? It's a perfect example of one lie that you told leading to having to tell 10 other lies, right? Because then not only are they lying to the doctors, then Rachel ends up having to lie to her father about sleeping with that dude on her bed. Like, it's just
that was great. Could you imagine what those dudes were thinking though, when it's like,
oh yeah,
they just witnessed what they think is somebody telling their own father that they slept with an ex-boyfriend on their father's bed, but the other person in the room having come apart because of that,
right?
At that point, I think I would have started thinking, okay, there's something going on.
But there was no pagan altars.
There were no pagan altars. I think, to be honest, I think that those characters, the little bits you got to see of them, I think if they had come clean, that those two would have been like, we just want to do you.
Yeah, I don't think they really would have given a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably majority doctors too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the actual doctors, just because they work for the hospital doesn't mean that they really care as much. I could be wrong. I'm sure there are people out there who do, but...
yeah, I think they would have been fine if they would have just come clean. I mean, it beats what happened, I guess. But anyways, we've got to mention George Clooney, I feel like.
And the other guy.
Huge star. Yeah, Noah Wiley.
Yeah.
And they were in it. From ER.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me want to watch that after, like...
have you ever seen ER?
No, I haven't watched it.
It was a big show. I remember... so Friends was one of those shows that I watched with my family growing up, like... prime time. And ER was the same thing. My parents watched it all the time. It's a huge show. And it's like what made George Clooney famous.
Yeah.
He had blown up at that time. So for him to be on Friends is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. It was just like their conversation about like the pagan altars and stuff. I was like, what did they get into on
been
their
on
actual
some bad dates.
Show?
Yeah. No pagan altars.
George Clooney's charming. You know,
yeah.
In this episode.
God bless the chickpea.
Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of lines, but it's charming.
No.
God, this episode sucks.
This episode blows, man. That's all I got to say about that story, too.
But yeah, needless to say, they didn't get a second date.
That's fair.
No, I don't think so.
They were acting pretty crazy.
Yeah, I would imagine those dudes left pretty soon after the, I slept with what's-his-face in your bed.
The fact that they felt so awkward that George Clooney's character felt the need to actually answer the phone, and it wasn't even his apartment.
Which is actually a nice touch.
It shows how bad that date was going.
That was a nice touch, though, because it allowed somebody to ask for one of them and him give the phone to the wrong person.
Yeah.
So that was really good writing right there.
That was good.
And the back and forth between Rachel and Monica insulting each other, but like talking about themselves, but really projecting it to the other. That was nice, too. They just go back and forth for a while, and then it finally stops with, I use my boobs to get attention.
We both do that.
That's a really nice scene.
I love the comment that gets it all started. Like, you know what? You know what? You know what? You know. I was like wondering, was that written for her to do that, or was she trying to come up with her own line? And then just like, every day you're getting more and more like your mother. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
And Simon.
Yeah, some of their insults were pretty good. I thought the one where I used to be fat in high school, which is kind of weird. I was like a cow.
Yeah, what was just as bad was the hysterical laughing, and then I just thought, I am so spoiled.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's it.
As soon as that happens, I'm looking at her like, she's batshit crazy.
That was kind of where it peaked. There were some glimmers in this episode, but it never really got there. Yeah. It didn't do it for me.
It almost felt like a filler episode.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do a little.
Let's talk about
Joey.
Joey and his twin fetish.
I don't think he actually associates them as being twins.
Obviously
when's Phoebe's birthday?
At least not on a conscious level.
Yeah.
No. So I feel like that conversation we had last time, like, I feel like it's just whole different spectrum for him.
That's my favorite scene in the episode. Ooh. My favorite scene in the episode is when they ask him about Phoebe's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite parts of the episode, because he's talking about Ursula's birthday. So they ask him about Phoebe's birthday, and he's like, what are the chances they'd be on the same day? But Ross is like, you take your time. I feel like it's my exact reaction. That's how I would play that.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
You take your time, stupid.
Yeah, they're still playing it up, and they'll play it up even more. It becomes like at least once every few episodes, I feel like, in the future, to where Joey is waiting to catch. Everybody's waiting on Joey to catch up.
Yep.
I think some of them were better than others. Yeah. Like, this one was not the best one.
But
there are some where it's, like, pretty.
The one where they know we know.
That's the best.
That's Joey, the best one. Latency.
You can't tell anyone. Couldn't have owned it.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I mean, it's kind of a continuation of what happened last episode, so I don't have much to say about it. We kind of talk about how you would feel if your friend was dating your twin. I think it is pretty upsetting that Joey decides to go off with Ursula instead of Phoebe. That's a pretty dick move. Big dick move.
I think it would have been more understanding if it wasn't Phoebe's twin. Like, you could kind of give a little bit of leeway. But
I don't know. I think if it was any girl you were dating, I mean, it's kind of shitty to skip out on your friend's birthday you've been friends with for however many years.
Yeah. And Ursula is so horrible, too.
Yeah.
I think that's what really piles on, is she's so shitty.
Yeah.
And Phoebe knows this. Like, she knows the real Ursula. Joey doesn't know that depth yet, but he soon finds out, because she just ghosts his ass.
Yeah.
I did find it funny that they made Ursula a little bit dumb like Joey. Because when Phoebe goes to see her and she's like, I brought you a gift. And she's like, how did you know?
She's
like, you remembered.
She's a different kind of dumb. Like, she's like, she's kind of like how Christina Applegate plays Rachel's sister, where it's just like, however I could have received what you just said to me, interpret it in the most frustrating way possible that I could interpret it, basically.
Ella.
So it's like not even just being stupid, but just actively being difficult with everything you said. It was like, are you going to call him? Why, do you think he likes me? Like, obviously I'm not talking about the guy that just walked by just now.
That's true. Of course, Phoebe does a great job, though, because I still forget. You know, it's... Mm-hmm. You're not thinking, oh, that's Phoebe. You're thinking that's her twin sister.
Yeah, it's Ursula.
She does a great job of separating those characters.
I can't wait till we get to the episodes where Ursula's a porn star. Yeah. That's great.
The Buffet, the Vampire Lair.
Buffet, the Vampire Lair.
Yeah, there's a lot of great bamboozle questions. In those future episodes, we're not that far from it, maybe. Not sure. So Phoebe just kind of ghosts Joey, and there is kind of a weird scene to where Joey comes in and is like, I've tried to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
She won't return my calls, and it's just like there's like a moment of Joey just sitting frustrated on the couch, and then Phoebe's just kind of looking around at him, and it's like longer than it should be. I don't know if you know this, but it's like a solid 10 seconds where it just pans back and forth between Joey sitting on the couch frustrated because he doesn't understand, and Phoebe just kind of shifting her eyes.
Feeling bad because even though she's pissed, she doesn't like to see Joey upset.
But yeah, she decides to go talk to Ursula, confront her.
Yeah, and then she pulls the only thing that was shittier than what Joey did in the last episode, which was to re-gift that same sweater. I was like, oh, I had to one-up Joey somehow. Like, oh, I got you something too. You remembered. That was pretty nice at the end. They kind of make it seem like... I don't know if they thought more seriously about Joey and Phoebe hooking up in the series, but they did kind of... It kind of felt that way for them to have such like a nice little intimate moment at the end where Joey's like, I don't know if it's because you're breaking up, but you know, you've never looked prettier or beautiful or something like that. And Phoebe's like, oh, like, it's like almost like those real feelings developing, and then she's like nothing for the rest of the series, basically. Right. So,
and it is weird because they kiss and Joey like instantly knows that it's Phoebe.
Yeah.
Because later on when Monica dates Richard and then his son, it's like the same. So wouldn't twins be the same too?
Or you can tell the difference?
Yeah. Well, not be able to tell a difference. Joey was able to tell a difference between kissing Ursula and Phoebe, or Monica couldn't tell a difference between a father and son.
Oh, yeah. God, that was weird.
So,
I feel like everybody kind of has a different energy, you know? Yeah. I know that sounds like something Phoebe would say, but I feel like you could tell, like, if you've been dating somebody and you've been kissing them, and then you kiss someone, which was for the first time, we can only assume, with Phoebe, you would have felt something different. There would have been different kind of sparks, I think.
Maybe.
I think they kind of felt that, like, something was off with that. I've been making out with this girl for the past week. That felt different.
Yeah.
I like the moment, though. It was really nice because Joey kind of has that look like, oh, wow, that was Phoebe. Like, that was really sweet what she just did. And then Phoebe kind of has that look like, I kind of enjoyed that.
I also really appreciate, this was like, I've always felt like this was impressive writing because they play, like, it's such an Ursula character thing to do to re-gift that sweater. And it works out so well for Phoebe to impersonate her by wearing the sweater that Joey can only assume he... gave to Ursula, and she still has.
That sweater is made in rounds.
That was a perfect way to tie that all together. I'm impressed that somebody came up with that. I love that part of the story.
Breaking it down, this is probably the best plot point. There are some good moments in this one. Well, there was one thing I wanted to talk about on the birthday. So... once again, we have a lack of continuity with Phoebe's birthday. We've had this with Ross's birthday. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but it definitely comes up to where Ross's birthday shifts.
Yeah, so we talked about that one.
But in season 9, Phoebe and Ursula's birthday is supposed to be in October, around Halloween, because Phoebe has a birthday party and Joey complains about the fact that it's on Halloween. But then in this season, this episode... their birthday is a little after Valentine's Day because Rachel is taking the Christmas lights down.
Even later in season 10, is it season 10? When Phoebe's dating
Mike.
And they go out for that fancy dinner with, and Ross and Rachel have to get his mom to babysit Emma. I'm surprised that wouldn't have been around October. Because they don't act like it. With a new baby, I'm sure you'd want to dress it up and go trick-or-treating or something.
Mm-hmm.
Not...
Yeah, there's...
The birthdays have not been established well.
I meant to point that out. That is the one thing with this show that bugs me. Like, the lack of continuity. And not just in birthdays, but if they... I love that in other shows. Like, yeah. I think people started to get that right later on. And this is early in the sitcom game, I guess. I mean, there were sitcoms before this, but...
Yeah.
It's early in the continuity mattering game. That's and true. They really fucking dropped the ball with that. And I guess this is still the first season, so they're just riding themselves into holes that they can't climb out of.
Like, oh crap.
I'm surprised though, I mean it seems like a thing that they could have kept throughout the series. It's not that difficult.
Right. Like just establish it and make a note of it.
Yeah.
Let's play Bamboozle.
Okay.
Who wants to call it?
Tails.
Hey Siri, flip a coin.
It's Tails this time.
Alright, Steven.
The first question better be the easiest.
Question one. I tried to order these in ascending order from easiest to hardest.
Good.
Okay, Steven. Where is Joey taking Ursula for her birthday? What restaurant?
The Rainbow Room.
Very good. 1 point.
That's right.
Leah. Your first question. What letters did Marcel swallow? That is correct.
Damn.
1-1. Steven, name the guy that Rachel allegedly had sex with on her dad.
No. Oh, it's something fancy. It's a rich guy named Chad. I'm gonna go with Chad.
Chad what?
Chad. I don't have a last name.
Leah, would you like to steal?
Yes. And excuse me if I mispronounce this. I believe it's Billy Dreskin?
I would give that to her because that sounds...
I'll give it to you. That's very close.
It's something...
It's Billy Dreskin.
Dreskin.
And I've made up my mind in my head that if somebody got close and said Dresk something, I would give it to them because I thought it was Dreskel until I looked it up, but it's Dreskin.
Really?
Yeah. Leah, I'll give you that one. So, she stole.
So she goes.
Leah, question 4. We've only got 5 questions, Steven. When the doctors show up to Monica's place, they bring a wine. They say the wine is from the cellars of whom? Steven.
It's Earl and something. I know that Earl's in it. It's Earl and fucking something else. I can't remember the other name, but I wish I did so bad. Because I took note of it in my head. Earl and Bob.
It's not that far off.
What is the answer?
It's Ernest and Tova.
Oh, Barnett. Ernest! Yeah, I didn't even get
If you'd gotten the first part right, I would have said yeah.
So, this was so specific that it bugged the shit out of me.
Did you look it up?
I looked up. I'm like, who in the fuck? Like, is this a real wine? That was my main question. And apparently, Ernest Borgnine was on 2 episodes of ER with Clooney.
Oh!
He ended up winning like an Emmy or something, but still, 2 episodes? Like, why the fuck?
That must be the reason, because I noticed that when they did say the name of the wine, that there's a few laughs in the audience. Which fucking nerds. For knowing that.
I don't think they knew that. They were just laughing. But anyways, I thought that was weird. So, 2-1. Leah, last question. You pretty much got this wrapped
up.
Wait,
no, it's me. I had an opportunity to steal.
I'm sorry. I'm a terrible bamboozled host. Last question for the tie. Steven, what does Marcel change the channel to when Rachel is on the phone with her dad? Trying to explain the whole Billy Dreskel situation. He changes
Marcel changes the channel.
Mm-hmm. Because he takes remote. Raw says, oh, maybe he can take the subtitles off and get it back. What does he change it to?
Discovery Channel.
That is incorrect.
Damn it. I lose!
Leah, for fun, you know?
I just remember Urkel.
That's in the beginning of the episode. That's what I wanted to do first.
The answer is Bugs Bunny. Steven, you've been bamboozled!
No!
Next episode, we'll be discussing the one with all the poker, which is Season 1, Episode 18. Go out and watch the episode and join us back here. If you'd like to keep up with us, it's Twitter, The Insomnia Cafe, Instagram, The Insomnia Cafe, and Facebook, The Insomnia Cafe 3. I'm Brayden, and on behalf of Steven and Leah, thank you so much. If you're still with us, we appreciate it. Love you guys. See you next time.
See ya, pals!
This has been an Insomnia Cafe production.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's the OA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you, 'cause you're there for me too.
I haven't slept in 4 years.